Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
So today, I'm starting out this episode mad. I just saw a video, Bill McKenna, of a young woman. She really looks like she maybe just graduated. She has a PhD, so she's got to be in her late 20s at least. And she's a neuroscientist, and she was on a very popular podcast. And she said she'd cracked the code for how to change reality, for how to change your life, for how to finally get what you want. And the answer was, wait for it, fake it till you make it. Act as if. Now, those of us who are a little more seasoned, have a little more life under our belt, we've been through the fake it till you make it phase. We've heard this. And for probably 99.9% of people, it does not work. So let's break it down, Bill McKenna.
Well, first question, that you're going to start with is for everybody listening right now. It's like, you ever tried to fake it? Does that work? How long does that work for? Right? Does it work for a few minutes? Or have you found that you just did it and then it worked out forever? Or did you find, strangely enough, you ended up reverting?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what they're really talking about is embodying the type of person who does X, right? So let's imagine that your goal, Bill McKenna, is to now become a prima ballerina. You want to be a prima ballerina more than anything else in life. So you start behaving like a prima ballerina. Now, contrary to popular belief, you don't just take on the identity. You don't just start wearing tutus and toe shoes around, which would entertain me greatly, by the way. No, you would need to then sign up for very, very aggressive dance classes, dance work, right? You would have to begin to eat a certain way, sleep a certain way. I mean, you would have to dedicate the minutes of your life to becoming a ballerina. So here is the problem with this logic. Most of us don't have what we already want because there's some fear that holds us back. We might die if we try to do that thing. You know, we're stuck in our old patterns, stuck in our old ways. And most people could not actually get up the energy to actually make themselves sign up for that first very expensive class and then spend the hours, which are probably 8 to 10 a day, training to become a ballerina. Your body and mind are just not going to allow that. Now, here's the other piece that most people don't think about. There's a certain kind of brain organization that happens for very high level people. They think a certain way. They embody a certain ideology. Their body moves a certain way. Their body is able and willing to make these steps, but that allows their brain to be organized in a very particular way to figure all of it out. So you have to figure out, what steps do I even need to take to act as if? You know, that part is so confusing when you're not wired that way. So what this person is suggesting on paper could work, but in reality, for most of us, your nervous system is going to yank you back to where you started. And like you said, maybe boomerang you back to even before that, you know, back into some hole that you crawled out of, right? So let's talk about that a little bit. There's so many pieces that could get in the way for that actually working.
So the biggest piece that I see getting in the way of it is the feeling that you have. The feeling is a sensation somewhere in the body. And that feeling, what few people realize, is the steering wheel of your life, the steering wheel of your brain. It is that feeling in your body. We think thoughts equal to the feeling or sensation in our body. And the thing is, most people never even notice it. I have a feeling in the pit of my stomach, or a feeling in my chest, or in my throat. And that specific feeling is going to drive me to certain conclusions, certain thought processes, and ultimately how I act or don't act. So that really the driver in my life is this feeling or sensation. So acting in conflict with it is like a very unfair fight. You're taking a butter knife to a gunfight. It is just, it ain't gonna work out for you.
It's true. And you're trying to fight the logical mind with the logical mind. Well, from what you're saying, Bill, and what we teach is that it really the logical mind is simply influenced by how the body feels. That really is the driver for the calculating system that is your brain, like threat or not threat. It's a threat assessment system, right? Mm-hmm. So it really is an unfair fight. Like you said, it really is very unlikely to work. You've got to find what the driver is in the first place. So as I always tell myself, I will do so again. Recently, we have been working on a new way to do marketing. And so we get in this class, we have an amazing coach, an amazing plan, like everything's there for us to just do great at this marketing thing. Well, every time I go to look at any of it or do any of it, I literally would rather go lay in the middle of the road. So I don't want to do it. I'm annoyed. So what is the feeling of annoyed? For all of us, it's different. For me, there's this tension in the face, a tightness in my gut, like tightness in my shoulders. Literally, my shoulder started to hurt. Now, this is adding up to something, guys. Listen to what I'm saying. I felt annoyed and I felt in great resistance to doing this marketing thing, right? 1000% not logical. Now, my mind does understand this is what we need to do. My mind understands that these are perfectly great rational steps. You know, my mind knows and trusts this person who's teaching us, and I've seen the results. So if I was going to fight my mind with my mind, I'd already be convinced. Now, I am convinced that I need to do it, but my body does not want to at all under any circumstances, right? And I'm spending days in this state annoyed. And then guess what else? I'm looking for some other reason to be annoyed, because it can't be that my logical mind won't do what my logical mind knows I need to do. It can't be that. It's got to be some other reason, right? Mm-hmm. So because we have cognitive movement, I knew that my body was betraying me, that there was some other thing that was preventing my physical body from letting my logical mind do the work. So what do? I address the sensation. That's what we do. I address this tightness in my body. I address the tightness in my shoulders. I address the shoulder that's bothering me, right? I address the annoyed sensation. And then I go about the business of remapping that very specific neural pattern.
What does remapping mean, Liz?
Well, remapping really is showing the nervous system a new way. So we use the body, you know, we use cross-body stimulation, bilateral stimulation. We use the eyes, we use sound, we use breath, and we literally show the system the pattern that it is experiencing, my own annoyance, my own physical pain, and then my own argumentative thoughts. So we let the body do that thing that it's doing because that's the pattern. And then we show it another way through this very specific patented pattern that we use. But it's very physical. It's auditory, sound, eyes, breath work, touch. The whole system is involved. Okay, so then what happens? What happens is very quickly, my nervous system has shown that this marketing thing is not the threat that it thinks it is. It, you know, it goes back to a point in time that felt similar, being new at something, learning something new, you know, something that I find boring, that kind of a thing, and clears that up. Like, this is not that. This is not a threat. This is not the end of the world. Doing this work is not going to kill you. So before that, like I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't, what I was doing wasn't working, or all the things. After, I'm like, oh, I have this idea, that idea. So I'm able to sit down at my computer, do it like a normal person. And then we've had some success, right? But if I had tried to fake it till I made it, how would it even have worked? Right? I could not have fought my logical mind with my logical mind. That's not where we were. It was physical.
You know, I think the thing that I can certainly relate to is what I would call slogging. And actually doing something, but slogging my way through it. Like, I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to struggle, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to push, and I hate it. I'm hating it while I'm doing it, but I'll just keep doing it hard. And I get tired. I get exhausted. It is exhausting. Those indications, if you're doing a job, whatever it is, like even loading the dishwasher, you know, loading a dishwasher for a lot of people can be, and this sounds crazy, right? It's loading a dishwasher. You're taking a plate and moving it about 1 foot or 2 feet away and putting it, you know, it's a manual process, but emotionally, this is so hard for some people. It doesn't even make sense, but there's so much resistance.
Well, think about all the fights that happen in households when you ask your teenager to do the dishes and they flip out and now everybody's yelling and screaming and plates get thrown, right? Why would that be? It does not make logical sense, but it actually spurs this very physical, visceral anger sensation in the body that overrides the mind. And now you've got people literally out of their minds acting crazy, right? You could sit down, you could go to a therapist, you could argue it out, but it's never going to make any sense. It's never going to, they'll make up reasons why they don't want to do it, but the truth is the body is reacting so intensely that it overrides the logical mind. And then you get, you know, these big brawls. So fast forward in time, let's say you're married now and your husband is one of those people who was forced to do the dishes and it pissed him off as a teenager, big fights, big trauma. And now you ask your husband to do the dishes. What kind of reaction do you think you're going to get? It's going to seem so unreasonable, so out of character. You have a big blowout and have no idea why that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's because the physical body remembers and is just going to play it out.
You know, this is a really funny thing because there's an actual reaction. You know, all my life, I didn't realize that my body was reacting. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought, no, this is my thought process and this is, right. It's logical or it's just the way I feel and it's all here. And, you know, that never in a million years did I think that, oh, there's a certain sensation somewhere that, you know, I got a feeling about something. You know, I had heard, and this is a real funny one. I don't know if we talked about this one before, but One of my sisters, I got eight sisters, so I got a lot of sisters. That means I've got a lot of brother-in-laws. But one of my sisters was talking to me about calling her husband, hey, and then they'd say her husband's name, hey, blah, and every time it would be like, oh, you're there. But to my sister, it was just like, I'm just calling,
We
like,
say your name, yeah.
can you get can you bring over the milk? Hey, Bubba, can you get the milk? Just, it's nothing, it's like, it should not be charged. But, every time it's like shocking the system, like, ah, And, you ask, it's kind of funny because I remember I was like, oh my God, I have that too. And when somebody, would call my name, it's like, hey, but hey, Bill, it's like, ah, but it was very simple. When you're a little boy with, being a little boy and you got testosterone, you end up doing a lot of bad things. You're climbing on the table, you're doing wheelies on your bike, you're throwing rocks, you're something's going on. You're a boy, and you're tearing something up. So you get a lot of people like calling your name, hey, Bill, it's like, oh damn, it's not really, hey, Bill, I love you.
Yeah, right? Because
it's
it's a
you're
visceral, it's a response. It's not logical. If it were logical and if you could override it with your mind, we would have so fewer problems. Let's take our first break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about what fake it till you make it really is, what they're talking about, when it can work, and why it doesn't most of the time, why you will be wasting your time and annoying yourself. All right, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about me being annoyed because I heard a neuroscientist say that the way to change your life is to act as if you fake it till you make it, which we've all heard that. What she was really talking about is trying to establish new patterns in your body by by actively doing the things that will make that change. And I will tell you when that can work. When it can work is when you have literally zero resistance to this wanted thing. And what you need is the roadmap for how to get that thing done. So let's say that you want to become an engineer, and that's your life's dream. And so you look up how to become an engineer, and it says first enroll in college. Oh, okay. That's my step. Good. I'll do it. You know, next, take engineering classes. Okay. That's great. That's how I'll do it. Next, get an internship, right? So when all you need is the roadmap, when you need to know what does a person who has that thing or knows that thing or does that thing do, that you can follow because you don't have any resistance to it. But what most people are talking about and fake it till you make it is changing something unwanted in your life, right? I would like to be in a better relationship. I would like to have more money. You know, I would like to have a different body shape, right? And the wanting of that is usually quite painful. Really, it's the not having it feels quite painful. And I mean painful physically in the body. You notice something tightens up, you feel like you want to cry, your low back hurts, you know, you have shoulder pain, you've got neck pain, you've got low energy, low mood, and you can't get out of your way to get that thing started because something is holding you back. And in that case, you're trying to fight the logical mind with the logical mind. And again, it's like fighting a terrorist or a toddler. It just is not effective.
Well, the thing is, I think that's important here is that for your normal human, you know, they don't associate the feeling in the neck, the feeling in the shoulder, the pain in the lower back. It's never associated with that unfulfilled desire, you know, either in either direction, to be rid of it or to get it. Right? It's happening too soon. It's not happening soon enough. I don't want this at all. You know, that sort of thing. People, I certainly did not. I didn't think anything in my body had anything to do with what was going on in my head. Nothing.
Right? Of course
not. At all. You know, that's completely nothing to do with it. But it's a major turning point in a person's life when they realize that the electric fence of their life is set up by a sensation. I don't like how I feel, which is a sensation in the body, so I won't approach that person. There's an electric fence there. Oh, that's too much. I don't feel like it. You know, that's uncomfortable for me. You know, certain people are really good at sales because they don't have the electric fence that other people do. Like, they're going to go up and approach a person and straight up ask, "Hey, I got this great thing. You want some of this great thing? It's a great thing. You know, I think you could use this great thing." And they feel nothing. And other people are like, "Oh my God, how embarrassing.
Are they going to think of me?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Why?"
It's true.
Don't say that. Don't say that to them, that, you know.
Yeah. And it's a literal electric fence inside your body. So, you know, I was a sales trainer for a car dealership. And I found early on that the salespeople literally had electric fences. There would be a moment in the sales process in which their body would literally yank them back, saying literally way too many times. But there was this actual visceral reaction that felt a little bit like being electrocuted and pulled back. You know, don't touch that fence. And it could be, you know, picking up the phone. It could be coming into work the day they need to do specific sales calls. For some of them, it was the minute they would see somebody open the door and get out of the car as a prospect, you know, something would hold them back. once they got past that, they would be okay. They'd be fine. But it was some individual piece, and it was different, you know, for every person, the electric fence that would be created. So I have a story that will really highlight how what's going on in the head, what holds us back, is often very, very visible in the body. So I had a client who came in, and she was sent to me from a physical therapist. And she was 2 days from going and having her pre-op for a shoulder problem. And when she couldn't move her body, if she laughed or coughed, she would go into terrible pain for the shoulder. Now, the physical therapist knew that there wasn't really anything physically wrong with the shoulder. It had to be emotional, smart physical therapist. So she came in to see me, and we started to work. And in her case, we worked the shoulder first, knowing that there was something mental, emotional, spiritual that was holding her back. What it was is that she's very religious, her whole life, very religious, and judged in a very particular way in that religion. What she really wanted to be was more spiritual. She wanted to open her spiritual life. She wanted to become psychic. She wanted to become, just really more metaphysical. And she was terrified, terrified about the judgment of her family. This manifested as this horrible frozen shoulder. So in cognitive movement, what we do is we work them both together. In her case, she was too afraid even to admit what she really wanted. So how are you going to act as if you're afraid to admit what you really want? So we went about addressing the physical body, its physical pain, what neurology was holding it back. And we started to, like I described in the mapping in the beginning, we started to map in a different signal. We found the place in the brain that was holding the body back, and we talked to the brain and the body back and forth, back and forth. Now, Bill and I addressed the brain through the part of the brain tissue that's visible, which is the eyes. So you can see through the eyes where the problem is held, what part of the brain is not functioning well. So you talk back and forth to them through sensation. And pretty soon the shoulder opens up, and then she admits what she's really there for, what she really wants. Eventually, it was a couple of sessions, we got that, she had no surgery, we got that shoulder completely unwound and started to really unwind and craft what the rest of her life would look like. And so it was the fear that had to be addressed.
So it's kind of amazing that this really was nothing more than fear. And I love the way that Liz talked about working the eyes and the shoulders and through the eyes. And the interesting thing about that, you know, because that sounds kind of like, well, what do you mean work it through the eyes? Well, it actually means physically work it, you know, creating a little bit of motion and certain position in the shoulder, and then an eye position. That's right, eye position, like the movement of your eyes to a particular position that you can actually see a disturbance. Mm-hmm. in the eyes. And anyway, practitioners, cognitive movement practitioners, become experts at this. And the most amazing thing happens. You know, I had one of these, you know, talking about fake it till you make it, right? Here we are, there was a young kid that had a kind of a major brain injury, very young, maybe at 6 years old, hit the back of his head, and began working with him when he was about 20 years old. And this kid could not drive more than 20 minutes. Physically driving on the freeways, couldn't drive for more than 20 minutes. That was the limit, because he would be filled with rage, road rage. And the road rage, the most amazing thing about this, you know, it was the very first session, and we weren't even working on road rage. we're working on the shoulder for athletics, and he wanted to loosen up his shoulders so that there were some athletic things that he could do better. And we loosened up the shoulder, which was the first time in his life that tension in the shoulder went away. And the next week, we had gotten together, and he had said that, you know, I asked him how his week was, and, you know, we hadn't even talked about road rage in the past, but he said, I had the most weird experience this week. I could drive for as long as I wanted. And not only that, but twice I got flipped off. And he looked over at the people and he was like, oh my gosh, they must be having a bad day. And so this is, you know, it's not like the poor kid hadn't tried to talk himself into like, hey, you know, everybody's okay. You know, everybody else can drive on the freeway too. But no, it was as simple as that. You know, if you were driving with this kid, you know, the parents or friends like, hey, calm down, man, it's going to be okay. You know, you're trying to talk yourself into it. No, there's no talking yourself into it.
No. And if you have road rage, like that's just a reaction. Like it just happens to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the demons take over your body.
It's pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know. And so anyway, the thing is, I think it's a really good example of, you know, your body is the steering wheel of your brain. And as soon as you change that, like you just described for this fear, you know, that other woman, it changes everything.
It does. It changes everything. Let's take our next quick break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how fake it till you make it is just not always an appropriate way to change your life. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, everybody, we're back. We're talking about, you know, me being annoyed about someone saying, a neurologist saying that fake it till you make it, act as if, is the premium way to change your life. And we've been talking about how it really doesn't work. And sometimes it's just inappropriate. It's just inappropriate. Today, I had a client who is in her 80s. And she is an amazingly accomplished human, She has done things and invented things that no one else has ever done or invented. And the lives that she's lived in the 80 years that she has is incredible. But someone said to her, I think you're too old for something specific that she wanted to do. And it kind of knocked her off a little bit, started to feel a little down, a little upset. And so would my advice to her have been, well, I want you to start acting like the person who's done everything that you've been your whole life. Just start acting like that again. Well, at this point, her nervous system she'd had a head injury, is one thing that can make a big difference. And two, her system was just down. She couldn't see a way out. Just seemed impossible. Obviously, her life was over. Nothing more to give, right?
Right.
Just temporary. Just a temporary glitch in her matrix. So if I had said, well, just start acting like yourself again, she wouldn't have known what that meant. We had to do some things for her. We had to get her eyes moving. Her eyes were very stiff and really not moving left and right, which if you know anything about cognitive movement, you'll know that that means you do not have access. She did not have access to most of her brain. She was stuck in one very unique perspective. Once we got her eyes moving, the physical issue taken care of, now all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute, I've done this my whole life. Screw them. Who are they to decide how old I am and whether or not I can do it? Then she proceeds to go on about how she's kicked all their butts. And the reason the person said she was too old is they were sick of losing to her. Right? So totally that would have been inappropriate. Her physical body, a physical issue needed addressed. Right?
Right. Right. And how do you do that? You can't talk somebody into it.
No.
You have to do something. And because your eyes are one with your brain, you can actually physically exercise her brain.
Yeah.
And you can access that one movable part of the brain, the eyeballs. So you did it. That is, you know, so awesome, you know, and talk about giving somebody their life back, you know, and.
Yeah, it was so great. Cause I just smiled. I'm like, okay, I see what this is. Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about convincing her that she's still amazing or that age doesn't matter, or that 80 is the new 60, you know, I didn't have to do any of that. I smiled to myself and I knew that all I had to do was give her more physical access to her brain. And in doing that at 80 years old, I was giving her more physical balance, which is really essential, you know, as we get older, a more congruent left and right to her body, more creativity, you know, a better ability to sleep and on and on and on. And that's where we started with this, Bill, is that it isn't your mind or even your emotions. It's your physiology that is creating all of that. And so we have to address the whole system to create the change where it lives. It does not live just in the logical mind.
That's 100%. That is only one part of it. And interestingly enough, it's not the powerful end of it.
No.
The powerful end of it is in the body, wherever that trauma or belief was stored.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about fake it till you make it, that takes a lot of time. A lot of time to brainwash yourself into becoming something that your system probably doesn't want to do. It's got a fear around it. The work that we do, like with, you know, my 80-year-old friend today, it's a few minutes. And all of a sudden, the brain comes online and it comes up with all of its own new ideas, right? the electric fence is no longer there. The big block, the thing that did not allow her brain to organize itself to figure out the steps,
right,
comes right online. So you don't have to wait months or years or weeks or even hours to get the change. You can get it right away if you know how to access the full system, the full neurological pattern that is creating whatever's stopping you in the first place. That's the beauty of it, I think.
Right. Yeah, that is 100%. You know, and there are so many people out there suffering, and they're married. They're married, and they want their partner to be different. Now, all of them, everybody takes their vow, you know, until death do us part, and we're going to love and honor, and those sorts of things. And everybody has the darn best intentions of it. You know, the best intentions in the world. But the interesting thing is that we've got a feeling about them, and they're not, you know, yeah, love you, you know, and death to us part, but damn it, you know, they've got to change, you know, they've got to act better. So, you know, I had this wonderful couple, you know, that very much loved each other. Both of them loved each other, but, you know, fought like cats and dogs. I love the term a trailer park fight. But what the interesting thing about this is, there was this amazing love for each other, but ultimately it came down to a sensation in the chest and in the throat. And when we were able to release the sensation in the chest and throat, the most amazing thing happened. And that was like, I accept the person how they are. I'm allowing them to just be who they are. Can you imagine going from, you know, trailer park fights to I accept you how you are? Now, the thing here is that they had the concept years prior,
sure,
of accepting the person how they are. That's that concept, you know, it wasn't like a new concept. They were a highly educated person, but the body was telling a different story, like no expletive,
right?
You know, so this is a real thing that has very real life ramifications. Once you understand, and you know, now that you're hearing this for the first time for most of humanity, is to notice when something starts up. Oh, it's starting. I feel it. And it could be anything. Guilt, grief, shame, resentment, self-talk, negative self-talk. Guess what? Your negative self-talk, somewhere in you, there's a sensation that goes along with this. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm whatever. Yeah. And there's a sensation. And this will, just this very first piece of the puzzle will start to change your life.
What's really so true about this, the awareness piece that you were just talking about, Bill, is that the minute you become aware of your launch sequence, the thing that starts the pattern of problem, the thing that irritates your body and then gets your mind cycling round and round and round when you're triggered by your spouse, that piece of it allows you to notice what's happening and stop. Recognize that you are in your own pattern, that why you're triggered or upset right now by them may have absolutely nothing to do with what they really said, but have everything to do with something that happened a long time in your past. The body is really the great time traveler. the nervous system is, and it will reach back and pull something that feels like what was just said to you from your past, from one of your worst moments. And now you're reacting to your spouse really with what adds up to bad behavior, but you don't realize it. You think what they said is the end of the world, and now we're going to go to war about it, when realistically, your body just had a reaction to something in the past. So exactly what you said, Bill, being aware of that, having that reaction happen in the physical body, noticing the sensation and recognizing this is my launch sequence will stop you from having that fight round and round with your spouse. Even better than that would be to go in using the Cogno movement system and delete that pattern from ever happening again. And here's what happens. Your spouse will do that thing that normally drives you nuts and you won't even notice because it wasn't really about that. That doesn't really bother you. What bothered you is something from long before in your archives. So you'll think, wow, my spouse is really acting nice to me. My spouse has really changed. And the truth is they have not. You have, and your response to a stimulus has changed. And so you really can't, to wrap up this episode, you really can't act your way into a better relationship, act as if we have a fantastic relationship, if you don't know what your own launch sequences are, if you don't know what is creating that physical, visceral response that leads your mind to think this is a threat, there's a problem that then starts a fight and goes around and around. So being able to delete that, being able to get it out of your system is so freeing, so refreshing to a relationship. If more than one partner undertakes this, you know, clearing out the triggers out of their nervous system, it revolutionizes a relationship. On that note, we have come to the end of this episode. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Have you ever tried fake it till you make it? Did it work for you? Did it not? We have all kinds of programs at Cogno Movement. You can try this out for yourself with our Essentials program, or you could become a practitioner and start changing lives for others. So until next time out there in UK Health Radio land, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.